Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Sports talk show for your drive home.
And the tone of the game was set after Adrianza got hit with a two-strike pitch to start. And there's a first pitch bullet belt into left field. Wow, into the second deck. Austin Riley has hit a grand slam.
I'm now with fire sale it, fire sale.
This is Dukes and Bell
on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Mike, I got a question for you, man. It's Dukes and Bell. It's Wednesday. We got a couple of guests that are going to stop by. But real quick, Bo was talking about the judo chick, don't know her name, that gets slapped by her coach. And I was asking, Chris, why can't you give a woman what she wants? If that's what she wants, that's what she's asking for, what's the big deal?
What? No comment.
I don't understand. Hey, if she wants to be slapped.
I'm over here.
If she wants to be slapped, I'm just saying. I don't understand. If that's what she likes. Okay.
The only time I've ever been involved with a woman that was into that sort of stuff, I'm like, I got to get out of here. This is just not for me. This is so not me.
If she enjoys these things before her matches, again, guys, we're talking about judo. All right. Get your minds out of the gutter.
Right.
I'm talking about judo. If she enjoys getting smacked up before her match.
We're not talking about a former Hawaiian Tropic contestant who liked being choked during sex, okay? But that's not what we're talking about, Chris.
No, but I'm just saying. I said to Chris, what is the problem? Guys, we are so conditioned now. We're so afraid to even talk about this stuff.
Everybody jumps and they don't know what the backstory is. You know, oh, no, this is, again, it's a very, I wouldn't say violent.
It's aggressive.
It's a technique to judo, and I've never understood it, but it's pretty cool. A lot of people get enjoyment out of it, but she needs to get herself into her, you know, her state of play or get readiness and whatever the hell it is.
Her state of play.
I don't know what the hell. Dude, again, why do I care about any of these sports? You know, can we just bring on the basketball already? We got to wait till we play Luka, right? Luka dropped 48 the other day. A little worried about this matchup coming up with Slovenia.
Yeah, he's going to try to kill our guys. There's no doubt. Here's the moral of the story, guys, before we get to Connor Riley. Give her what she wants. It's Dukes and Bell. Let's talk dogs.
Dukes and Bell on the sidelines with the dogs.
We do it each and every day. It's brought to you by our friends at BrightBox.
BrightBoxElectrical.com, B-R-I-T-E, BrightBox, for everything you need for your man cave. How about backup generators, guys, that are hardwired to your natural gas, so if the power goes out, you never lose power. BrightBoxElectrical.com.
Let's talk to Connor Riley, guys, with Dog Nation. Connor, been a busy week and a half, huh? To say the least. All that's been going on with the thought of what's going to happen with the SEC expansion. Let's start there, Connor Riley, and talk about the meetings that have been ongoing. Because we know, at least I feel like, people I'm talking to, this is going to happen. It's just a matter of getting all the T's crossed and the I's dotted. But the meetings that have been going on with the SEC, what's the latest with what we know about where this process is?
So the SEC presidents are set to meet on Thursday, but again, I think this is largely a question now of when, not if. I don't think teams get this far down the road, Texas and Oklahoma, and the money they potentially give up and potentially have to pay to leave the Big 12, if they don't feel pretty confident that they're going to join the moneymaker that is the SEC. For example, if Texas and Oklahoma want to join the SEC before next season, it would cost roughly about $76 million for each school. You're not willing to potentially fork that kind of money over if you're not pretty serious and have a pretty good idea of where this whole thing is going to end up. So, I think it's more we're getting to the point now where we just go through the process, cross the T's, dot the I's, and at some point, whether it be next season or further down the line, we are going to see Texas and Oklahoma in the SEC.
Yeah, man. We said this yesterday, Connor. What's your position? You cover the dogs. I mean, if Kirby has – and we know Kirby has built this – thing up. I mean, it's exceeded where Mark is, but he's still got to, we know, get the natty. If you were, I mean, going to play Oklahoma in the regular season, you might play him again. All this means is you're going to up your profile's up even further. There's more money for the coffers and everything else the athletes need to compete, so the rich get richer.
Yeah, but I would also point out, Mike, you're fond of asking, what does this do for the championship? What does this do for the pressure? One of the schedule scenarios that is thrown out there is moving Alabama and Auburn into the SEC East, which would then mean that Georgia has to play Alabama every single year, and doing so, while you usually do it in the SEC championship game, playing them in the regular season every year makes it harder to win a national title and even an SEC title. Or if you even go to the other schedule system that's been thrown out there, the pod system, you're probably playing some combination of Oklahoma, Texas, Texas A&M, Alabama, two of those three teams on a yearly basis. Georgia's schedule gets much harder with this. And while I do think one benefit would be an improved home schedule for season ticket holders, I think that is something that could be seen as pretty significant, especially when you consider some of the non-conference games that have been scheduled. If you're a Georgia fan and the number one thing that is important to you is Georgia winning a national championship, this undoubtedly makes that a harder process to come forth.
Carl, let me just do a follow-up real quick. Connor Riley's with this guy from Dog Nation. Hypothetically, though, Connor, because of this new playoff system, you could lose one or two games and still have a strength of schedule to be in the playoffs and still make a run, right?
Correct, but you have to wonder about the wear and tear potentially that comes from playing those games against other top opponents. And it's worth pointing out right now that other conferences have, in recent days, because of the way the playoff schedule or system was put out with Greg Sankey, the SEC commissioner, serving on that exploratory committee, I think there are other conferences that are now maybe a little dubious of pushing through this new playoff system so quickly, because it clearly stands to benefit the SEC as they continue to add more high-profile programs. And it went from, yeah, the SEC might get three, sometimes even four teams in on a yearly basis, to now with the addition of Texas and Oklahoma, you could see them getting 5-6. And who does that really stand to benefit? Well, obviously, it's the SEC, and it's, I think, pretty clearly bad for the rest of college football to bring these two teams from the Big 12 into the SEC.
Talk about the pods. What do you make of that? I've seen that diagram with the makeup of how the conference might look. Do you like that idea?
I actually kind of like the division setup a little bit more personally, because, you know, the pod system that had been thrown out there by the SEC Network had Georgia playing Kentucky, South Carolina, and Florida in its pod. So those are the only teams they play every year. Well, right. Notoriously missing from that pod with Georgia is Auburn, a team that plays in what is called the Deep South's oldest rivalry. Right. They have played every season for 100 consecutive years, except for 1943 when there was a world war going on. So I think the pod system, while it does get you around to more of the SEC, the plan there would be to play at every venue in a four-year window. You also forsake some of those big-name rivalries. Alabama, LSU would be in jeopardy there. Tennessee, Florida is another one that would be in jeopardy, as well as Auburn, Georgia. So I'm a little bit more favor in terms of divisions, because if we're going to keep blowing up college football, I would at least like some of the traditions to be kept intact. And so moving, I think, Alabama and Auburn to the SEC East, it keeps some of those bigger name rivalries that we have in this sport still intact, as opposed to the pods, which kind of, I think, rips further and further that up.
I mean, the one thing for sure is you don't want to not see those great teams every 8 years. I mean, that brings me to the next question, Connor. Because of the new structure, are we going to see a 9 or 10 game? We just did all SEC schedule by virtue of COVID. Why don't we just go to 9 or 10?
I think there's going to be a big push for this to get to nine conference games. Saw last year, teams were able to handle a 10-game schedule. Alabama ends up winning the national title. Most teams that care to play in their bowl game, a.k.a. not Florida, did pretty well after surviving a 10-game conference stretch there. So I think there's going to be a push from a lot of people. Well, if you're making this about money and you get another SEC conference game, that's going to make your television contract all the richer. And because of that, I do think that's maybe one area where money that is so grossly, I think, glazed over the sport of college football, I do think money in this situation is going to help get a ninth conference game in the SEC. I think 10 still might be of a bit of a stretch, especially when you consider schools like Georgia, South Carolina, Florida. They have to play their interstate rival in Florida State, Georgia Tech, and Clemson there. And then you want to have those big out-of-conference matchups. But at the end of the day, I don't think adding Texas and Oklahoma is just the beginning. I think when we're all said and done here, it's probably going to look like a 24-team SEC league. That's way out in the road. That's more of a prediction than based in fact right now. But I think that's ultimately where all of this is headed.
It's Connor Riley. We talk with Connor. Really, we're supposed to take a break, to be honest with you guys. And this news with the SEC broke last week after SEC Media Days. And you know, we were going to start our conversations back up once camp got around. But this is just front page news, and it's such a big deal in college football. How much more money, in your estimation, are we talking about the league now making because they're adding Oklahoma and Texas? It's already making a lot. How much more are we talking about, Connor? Just an estimate.
Yeah, so I know the Oklahoma and Texas numbers specifically. They made about $40 million from the Big 12 last season. Before adding in the extra value that the league would get by bringing those teams in, when the new SEC deal starts in the 2023-2024 season, I believe, each team is going to bring home roughly $67 million. And that's only going to go up when you add in schools like Texas and Oklahoma that are two of the biggest brands in college football. I don't think it'd be out of the realm of possibility to say that might push it up to, you know, potentially $75, $80 million per program. And that, at the end of the day, that money and that dollar value that these teams are going to bring home is why this has been pushed through. You know, Greg Sankey is not overseeing all of college football. He is overseeing the 14 universities that he represents as the SEC commissioner, and adding Texas and Oklahoma makes those schools more money. And that is what I think these school presidents want to see, to have a greater revenue, to bring in more money for their individual schools. And that's the biggest reason to me why this is happening. It's not an on-field product. It's not to try and make the sport of college football better. At the end of the day, it's all about the money.
Yeah, Connor, and real quick, Mike, I'm sorry. We were talking about the fees that Texas and Oklahoma would have to pay, upwards of $80 million. But if you could recoup in your first year potentially $70 million, it makes sense, right? I mean, it's a no-brainer to make the move.
Right, yeah. The sooner you get in there, because, again, if they're going to – I think the Big 12 grant rights, the media rights there essentially expire after the 2025 season, which is why in Greg Sankey's statement yesterday he had mentioned that's when they applied to join. The sooner you get into the SEC, the sooner you start making money. And potentially the sooner you start making up some of the money you'd have to potentially pay to get out of the SEC anyway. So at the end of the day, I think Texas and Oklahoma are very financially motivated to get in the SEC as soon as possible. I don't know if that $76 million price tag is going to be enough to get them in next year, but I would pay close attention to what Bill Hancock had previously said, where the college football playoff is not expanding for at least the next two seasons. So you go after next year, you're looking at the 2023 season. I think that could be really when you see Texas and Oklahoma go in there, because by that point, the grant rights buyout that those schools would have to pay would have dropped substantially. And I believe the new TV contract with the SEC is starting that same year as well. So you have sort of the perfect storm of alignment of new playoff, new television contract, decreasing buyout from the Big 12. That really, in my opinion, makes a lot of sense to when you would see Texas and Oklahoma join the league.
And speaking of the money, it's all about the money. I think which football fans, Connor, are starting to realize as Connor O'Reilly joins us, guys, from Dog Nation here on Dukes and Bell. Carl, I was listening to Dan Le Batard's podcast this morning with Stu Gatz. They had the old ESPN boss on, John Skipper, Connor, and he was basically intimating that the SEC probably should have gotten more than the multi-billion-dollar deal from ESPN, because it comes out to $300 million, which I think is what, six times what CBS was paying for those 3:30 games on Saturday? And then you throw, to your point, Connor, Oklahoma and Texas in there, even more numbers, even more ratings.
Right. I think the SEC is going to be a little motivated to go back to ESPN now. And the sooner that they can get Oklahoma and Texas into their conference, say, hey, we've added value to our conference. We've added value to this contract. Is there any way we could go back and get out even more money from this? And because we know you're going to be devaluing what you're paying the Big 12, because the Big 12 without Texas and Oklahoma is no better, in my opinion, than the American Athletic Conference. So there's going to be real financial motivation for the SEC to get these teams in there and get this done and start earning off this brand new television contract, because the best deal in sports was what CBS had to pay to get those big time 3:30 CBS games. And that very quickly is going out the window.
Connor O'Reilly, great job as always. Keep us informed with what's going on. If you hear something, let us know. Thanks and have a great day, Connor. And make sure you tell everybody where they can follow you.
Yeah, you guys can follow me at @KConnorO'Reilly. Thanks for having me on, Mike and Carl.
Absolutely, man. It's good. It's big. It's just.
But I mean, I heard that today, and I was like, wow, because you think about like $50 million basically for the 3:30 game, and they would always flex, what, two national games on Saturday night or one, and then the SEC championship. And now you're paying $300 million for that, which sounds like a crazy amount of money, but you throw Oklahoma and Texas in there. I mean, even Auburn on a bad year, Auburn-Oklahoma is a game that the country wants to watch, Carl. It's the main brands.
Yeah, there are going to be very few I'm not interested games
right.
when this merger or this expansion happens. They just are. I mean, you're going to tell me you're not watching, even if you're not, again, a Texas or Oklahoma fan, but you're curious to see how Texas fares against some of these other schools
hey.
That for so long we've said, oh, well, if they were in this conference, they wouldn't win six games. Okay, we're going to see.
What do you say, though, about a school like Vandy that is unique to the SEC? Obviously, it is, you know, the Harvard of the South. But
keep Vandy, man. Yeah.
But does it really pull its weight in this deal?
No, but academically it does. And for everything that we say about college sports, I know that there is still that academic component that matters to folks in the SEC. I'm not moving on from Vandy just because they're not going to ever win this conference. They haven't won it. They're never going to win it. Now you're adding two other brands. Hey, coming up, Nick Green's going to join us. We're talking Braves next. Let's talk to our buddy Nick Green from Bally Sports about what's going on with the Braves. And last night, woo, offensive explosion. But, Nick, I want to start with starting pitching because the trade deadline is approaching, and everybody's always like, oh, we need more starting pitching. I think Charlie Morton's been great. The guys that have been filling in, right? I mean, Tookie Toussaint, Muller. The starting pitching has actually been a strength of our team here over the last month and a half, don't you think?
What's up, guys? Yeah, I agree with that. I don't know where you would really look at starting pitching and say that's a weak spot. I mean, I feel like they've done a nice job. The guys that have had to fill in that number five spot in the rotation have done a really good job. Plus, Waskar, you know, is about to come back. He should be back the next 3 weeks or so, I would imagine. So that would help whether they put him in the bullpen or not. That's another question. But as far as starting pitching is concerned, I like where they are. And getting Ian Anderson back since he had this little shoulder fatigue or strain or whatever it was, that's definitely going to help as well. But they've done a nice job as far as starting pitching has been concerned.
We got Max Fried tonight against Tyler McGill. I mean, boy, the Mets wear us out with those bullpen starts. We could very easily, Nick, you know, be in first place if you go about the blown saves earlier in the year. But, I mean, we've talked so much about the buyer-seller phenomenon. I don't want to sell anything. I don't want to give up anything we want. Matter of fact, how about we convince Charlie Morton to come back next year? Would you be interested in that?
I would. And, you know, I know Brad Snicker's talking about it a lot, but he's been so impressive at his age. It just seems like he's getting better. I know he struggled a little bit early on in the season, but he's figured some stuff out. And as far as being a top-tier pitcher, he's one of those guys. Now, at his age, I feel like he's not that guy's going to give you seven every time out, but he's certainly going to give you six.
Austin Riley, six RBIs last night. We need his bat. I mean, desperately, right? He now has, 19 home runs, career high. Is this the moment where he starts to maybe take off here for the rest of the season? Because we keep waiting, and it's like, all right, is this the moment for Austin Riley to ascend to what we think he can be?
I think you still need to be patient with him. I mean, he's still a young guy. Last year struggled. You know, he came out of the gates hot. I think it was 2019 when he got called up, and we expected big things from him. I mean, when you come out and perform like he did for that month that he got called up and he fatigued a little bit and, you know, had to make some adjustments, didn't make those adjustments quite as quickly as he is now, you still have to work with a guy and understand that he's going to continue to get better. He's going to have his ups and downs. You know, when you look at what he did at the beginning of the season this year, if the Braves had somebody to fill in at third base, he probably would have been sent to AAA. But he got the opportunity. He started to figure some things out. He's basically learned how to work with his mechanics on a consistent basis and then also work with his approach. And being a young guy, though, you want to say, okay, this is the time. Here's where he turns it around. He's going to be this superstar forever. That's not necessarily the case. And do I think that he's going to be a great player? Absolutely. Do I think there's going to be some times where he absolutely carries the team? Yes, I agree with that too. So I just think that when you look at expectations on a guy like Austin Riley, the potential is there, but you have to temper them just a little bit. I feel like this year is really his coming out, but you still have to be consistent day in and day out for years to come. And as a young player, sometimes that's hard to do. That consistency is the thing that keeps you in the big leagues, keeps you great. And it takes time to develop that.
It is our man Nick Green, guys, from Bally Sports covering the Braves. Nice job, by the way, in the booth, you and Paul Bird, man. That was fun to listen to. Yeah, getting you, Frenchie gets some tan, and you guys get some FaceTime. Hey, man,
if I had a beach house, I would have been there too.
I hear that, man. Hey, speaking of again, what's going on with Freddie here? We just talked about obviously how good Austin Riley's been. Freddie's now top 15 in OPS. He's on the cusp of 11, I think, top 10 in home runs. What do you attribute the slow start to? Was it pressure about the contract or how strange the lineup was?
I think there are a few things. And I think that, number one, there's pressure on the contract. I know that he wants to be a Brave. He wanted to sign a contract. I thought they would have it done by spring training. I feel like when you have a franchise guy like that, you do whatever you can to sign him, make him happy, and that kind of lets him be himself. And then number two, I mean, you have to remember he was dealing with the birth of two little ones and his other kids young. So he had a lot of stuff going on at home too. He wasn't able to see the kids as often as he wanted to. So he missed that part of the family time. Combine that with the fact he didn't sign his contract extension. I just think that his head wasn't in the space that it is now. And if you go back and look at him early on in the season, you can literally see the look on his face, the demeanor is not the same as it is now. Now he's more what we've grown to see year in and year out with Freddie, where he's jovial, he's happy, he's excited, he's engaging his teammates. And early on, it just felt like there was a lot on his mind. So to see where he is now, when to look back where he was at the beginning of the season, it's a drastic change, and I love it. I think he's been phenomenal. I didn't expect him to be up to 290 at this part of the season the way he started. So, yeah, kudos to him for getting things turned around.
Nick Green, our guest, guys, Bally Sports. You get a chance to see him as the Braves take on the Mets again. We can win this series. Last night was a big step towards that. I want to ask you, from your point of view, what is the Braves' number one need at the trade deadline for you?
Oh, man, they've got two needs for me. I don't know if I could pick one. I think that the bullpen, obviously, is a weak point. And if you can add one arm, I think you have to be able to add one arm to help. But if you can add two, I think that would be a bonus. And obviously a bat. I mean, the consistency of this lineup just hasn't been there. And when you look at the lineup and what they did last night, the potential is there. But you're still relying on guys like Heredia, Almonte, Arcia, Adrianza, those guys to fill in the blanks. And to be a team that is consistent offensively, those guys are better suited off the bench, come in on the back end of the games for some defense, and that kind of thing. So I think there are two needs. I don't know which one's bigger. I think they're both equally as big, in my opinion. But they've got to get, if they want to compete, they've got to get help from a big offensive bat. Can't just be any bat. A big offensive bat, and they've got to get a high leverage bullpen arm.
We've talked so much about how we thought the season was going to play out. Obviously, the Ozuna thing, Nick, nobody saw it coming. The Pache thing was kind of funky. Are we going to slow roll Drew Waters' ascension to the big leagues now, too?
I would. You know, when I see a guy like Pache get called up, struggle like that, it scares me a little bit. I mean, these kids are still young. They're still learning. And even though last year Drew Waters at the alternate site, it wasn't the same as being in the minor leagues for an entire season. So he basically lost a year of development in as far as playing every single day in that perspective. Now, he faced the same guys every day, and that's kind of where I get the frustration of, you know, not having that minor league season. You want to face different guys. You want to mix it up a little bit, and they weren't able to do that. So I would be nervous to call up Drew Waters too quickly. I expected more out of Pache, honestly. Right. I think everybody did. I didn't expect him to be this all-star right out of the chute, but I expected a whole lot more offensively. We didn't get it. So it is no fault of Drew Waters at all. But the way Pache underperformed, I felt like he was overmatched at the big league level this year. And now it goes down to, okay, who's really ready? How can you really evaluate them when you thought Pache was ready, but he wasn't?
Yeah, he wasn't. Nick Green, we always appreciate you jumping on with us, man. Great job. Continue doing what you do. We'll be watching, and I hope the Braves can stay hot, man, as we like to say in baseball, right? Stay hot!
That's right. Thanks, fellas.
All right, man. One game, Carl, under 500, which we've had that. How many times have you and I talked about this on the program? And by the way, Nick is a lot of fun. He did a good job with Paul. It was kind of cool to get, like, the hitters and pitchers, like, with their version of it, what you normally hear with Frenchie and Glavin on Bally.
Yeah, man. Tonight, again, I just want us to hopefully score some runs. Charlie Morton, man, that was a big start last night. He got us off to he earned the win after just giving up three hits, but he was solid. And that's, you know, we always talk about it. Starting pitching, man, you got to have some great starting pitching.
And you and I were talking so much about the big picture here and what are we going to do. Again, we're not selling anything. I would hold on. All the things you and I talked about earlier in the week, hold on to Smiley because we're going to need these guys next year. You know, you presume we don't know what's going to happen. We don't know what's going to happen with Soroka. I'm not being negative, but we just don't know enough either way, right, about Mike Soroka's return. And Hinoa, we will get a chance to get him back. So, yeah, I like what Nick said. Just get some bullpen pieces because other than maybe another glorified version of what you already have in the outfield, Carl, they're not going to spend for a guy that you're going to have to take on a contract for.
No. You're building for the future, but you want to build smart. Right.
No, like, we wish we had, like, the Mets or anybody else who's got it, like the Dodgers, all these guys with unlimited budgets where you could go and get Chris Bryant. And then, boy, oh, boy, we'd be in business.
Yeah, I just – but it's the after right. effect. So,
and then you got to keep him, and that's going to be a zillion-dollar deal.
It is. It is. It's Dukes and Bell. All right, guys, more on the Braves coming up. We'll go around the yard. We'll preview tonight's game a little bit deeper. But, Mike, we've got guy talk on the way.
All right, Carl, a story we can really sink our teeth into on this program. Tampa Bay police go undercover at strip clubs looking for sex.
Mm.
And they spent hours, days, weeks on the case. But did they get anywhere? We'll tell you all about it next on Dukes and Bell and Guy Talk.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey, man, coming up as part of Falcon Talk, Carl, Aaron Rodgers gets you a little tete-a-tete with a media member about wanting to be a pocket general manager up there in Green Bay. I was just looking at some of the stuff online.
Yeah, he answered a bunch of questions today. Matter of fact, I think NFL Network is replaying it from earlier today.
Yeah.
He was on the podium for, I want to say, 15, 20 minutes, maybe longer. But, yeah, yeah, absolutely, part of the Falcon Report coming up.
Hey, man, first, though, Guy Talk brought to you by our buddies at Hoots Wings, Chicken Wings, and other things, three locations around Metro Atlanta. Guys, over at Madison Yards, right off the Beltline for you hipsters. Over in Decatur, where it's greater, and Chasing Cougars over at Peachtree Corners. Don't forget, guys, they got thousands of wing combinations, buffalo shrimp, and ice cold Hey Man Ale in the can.
Hey!
Ready to go. Go to HootsWings.com. All right, Carl, police officers in Tampa dropped hundreds of dollars on drinks, cigarettes, and lap dances during an undercover operation at a strip club, but alas, made no arrests and didn't report any intelligence. An internal affairs report from the Tampa PD shows. Sergeant Daniel Rhodes, Danny, was suspended for a day and removed from the department's street anti-crime squad following an internal probe into, back in January of 2020, a visit to their version of the Gold Club, where an unspecified number of undercover cops spent $421 during a three-hour visit.
So they went all in. They did the cigarettes. They were all in.
Officers advised they spent the money on the cover charge, drinks for themselves, drinks for the dancers, drinks for the dancers' friends, shots for the bartender, a pack of cigarettes, cover charge for the lap dance area, and one lap dance each. One lap dance each. Give me a break.
Yeah, they monitored that. Yeah.
So basically, I guess, you know, the cops always give, like, an operation this. So what was this? You know, operation lap dance. You know, operation hot and heavy. At the end of the day, they got nothing. The undercover cops did not receive any intelligence. Wouldn't you love to see these briefings? No, no, I really think Lexi is about to give it up, Sarge.
Oh, jeez. I would definitely love to read these briefings because I know they're leaving a lot of stuff out.
Well, tips had previously been received that dancers were selling sex at the club last year, leading to the undercover operation, according to the internal affairs report. But again, they got nothing. Just cracks me up that, I mean, well, you, I mean, I love them trying to explain this to their supervisors. No, we had to look the part, you know, we had to get into character. Anyway, the Citizen Review Board, Carl, was not happy. Details came out, and a lot of people feel that this guy's deserved more than a slap on the wrist for wasting taxpayers' money.
Yeah, I think so too, man. I mean, no charges filed after all of that. I mean, how much money was spent overall? Do we really know?
I mean, they say for, I mean, look, 421. I don't know if they lowballed it. I mean, let's be honest. To be straight with you, if you're looking to solicit sex from, this is what I've been told. I don't know this personally, but if you were going to solicit sex from an adult entertainer, you were going to need more than a combined $421 amongst five guys.
Yeah, I think so too. I mean, you know, listen, Mike, I haven't ventured into those establishments, but I've heard it takes a lot of money.
I will say this: since I moved out of the city, that is one thing where I'm not going a month to at the Cheetah. It is saving me money, by the way. You know, when friends would come into town, you know, you have dinner. Hey, let's go at the Cheetah. You know, married guys want to blow up some steam. So, I mean, that, if nothing else,
that's one way to put it. You still have Cheetah Bucks, though, don't you?
Yes, I do. They've all expired. Oh, I have over like $250 in Cheetah Bucks sitting in my cigar box like an idiot. They have expiration dates, kids.
But I will say this, though, Mr. Man. You were a rock star. I'm not going to lie now. When you walk in, it'd be like, is that Mike Bell on the microphone? I'm like, come on, man, really?
Well, Tim Rhodes, former 99X DJ.
Is that Mike Bell? I'm like, come on. They don't announce when we come in here.
You don't want to be that guy who knows too many people in the strip club. You know, like, oh, there's Crystal. And Crystal comes over. Still working your way through college. You're 41.
Yes, it's true.
So, anyway, a couple of cops got suspended. A little slap on the wrist down there in Tampa. Let's move it up to Jacksonville. Gardner Minshew, Carl, is not conceding his job to Sunshine.
Come on.
Trevor Lawrence is going to have to earn it. He said this. This is a pretty funny lie talking to the reporters. He goes, I'll say this, man. In preparation for the competition, I haven't taken a blank in weeks because number two isn't an option for me. In other words, he didn't make it drop the deuce. And he was kidding. Otherwise, he'd really be in a lot of pain.
He would be because it hurts to hold it. But listen, we all know this is Trevor Lawrence's job. What is Gardner Minshew talking about? Just, you know what, keep your mustache trimmed and just stay in line, will you?
Right. Remember, Carl, the Clemson quarterback, Charlie Whitehurst? This is what Gardner Minshew, whether it's going to continue in Jacksonville, or he can be one of those guys wearing a baseball hat. Whitehurst made millions, just like, you know, sexy, you know, take any of your backup quarterbacks. Fitzmagic, if you do it right, you're going to get your chance every now and again. But Gardner Minshew had his chance, and now I think he's just going to be that guy, right? He'll be Mr. Yeah. Clipboard, but he can still make millions and stick around in the league for another 6 or 7 years if he wanted to.
He sure.
Yeah,
could.
Well, I'll tell you this, man. In preparation for the competition, I haven't taken a sh** in weeks.
That's a great line, though. That really is.
I don't want to hear about number two. There you go, man. Hey, the story first broken on Dukes and Bell about Kanye living in Mercedes-Benz with our man Darren Eels has now been picked up nationally. All the photos inside, we talked about this yesterday if you missed the show. Only a twin bed, a TV, and a small closet space is the area.
For his Yeezys.
That Kanye is using to, well, just kind of kick it when he's not working on this masterpiece of his. The Donda signs, Carl, that you've seen or that we talked about, he's taken over a studio, a makeshift studio in one of the dressing rooms or locker rooms at Mercedes-Benz.
Yeah, I mean, we don't know how long he's going to be there. I talked to some music friends of mine, and they were like, yes, he is a perfectionist, and so when the album gets tweaked to his perfection, then that's when he'll probably leave. But until then, this is where he's going to be. So, Mike, it could be a week, it could be 3 days, it could be 2 months. Who knows?
So we'll see what happens here with Kanye. Will he be walking around town wearing, again, a stocking on his face again and a big poofy red coat?
All I know, bruh, is too hot for all that. Stop playing, yay?
It just doesn't look right. Hey, man, here's a movie we might be interested in. Will Smith, the trailer is about to drop for the story about Venus and Serena Williams' dad, Richard Williams. The movie's called King Richard. Are you interested?
I am. I just tweeted it out. As a matter of fact, I watched the previews or the trailer in the break there. I didn't know who was going to play Richard, their father. But this is like a lot of these sports movies where the dad pushes the girls. And, you know, we can all say, oh, well, what a terrible person he is. Well, his girls are very successful. And, right. You know, at the end of the day, this thing worked out for everybody. So I'm kind of interested in the backstory. And, you know, I've read a couple of books on Serena and Venus, but the dad was the factor in you know, getting them going. And so we'll see. Will Smith's good. Well, I think that's a good pull for him to play this role. So we'll see.
All right, guys, let's hit the closing bell. Get to the birthdays here on Dukes and Bell. Closing bell brought to you by our buddies over at Alliance Tax Solutions. If you're dealing with the IRS, guys, don't play games. Get it fixed, you know, okay? Come on, get the pros on your side that can not just negotiate something you can live with, but to something you can very easily live with. AllianceTaxSolutions.com. Dow Jones was down 127 today. S&P was down about a point. NASDAQ was up 100. Boeing shares jumped today. Again, guys, brought to you by our buddies at Alliance Tax Solutions. All right, birthdays today for July the 28th. Manu Ginobili is 44 today, Carl.
Manu! Yeah, one of the great players. He'll be in the Hall of Fame soon, right? And Spurs don't win all those chips without Manu Ginobili.
Did he get a gold with Argentina?
He did, I think, right. Back in the day, yes.
That's right. Also, Dana White, MMA promoter and a guy who's, again, he's a wild man. He's 52 today.
Very, very rich man. Very
yes,
rich.
Yes, he is. Tottenham star Harry Kane is 28. He made his penalty kick for the English team. Lori Loughlin.
Why you got to do that? Why you got to do that?
The other guy's not so good. Aunt Becky, of course, from Full House. She later on became a star of Orange is the New Black, Carl, when she got jammed up in that academic bribe scandal. Remember that, her and her husband?
Oh,
they were
yeah.
paying off USC and other schools so their idiot daughters could go get to college. You know, some kids can go to junior college. It's not that embarrassing, Aunt Becky. She's 57. Bill Bradley is 77 today.
Wow.
From the Knicks.
Great Bill Bradley.
Senator
Bill Bradley. That's Real right. Bradley, that's right.
Darn right he is. Doug Collins is a 70, a player in the NBA, and then coach, of course, Coach Michael. Soulja Boy is 31 today, Carl.
Is he really?
Go to Superman. Chris, real quick, for guys of a certain age, Georgia fans know this. The night that they did the blackout against Auburn at Sanford Stadium, and they started playing Soulja Boy, the unedited version. And the players are going bananas on the sideline. I still remember like it was yesterday. It was the funniest damn thing. And people finally realized what some of the lyrics meant and what the references were. that was funny as hell between the hedges that night.
I will say this, though. You go to games now, and it's kind of accepted. You know, right. They're playing current music, what the kids are jamming to and what the kids are listening to. So, but, yes, I can only imagine. And that song was huge, man. Soulja Boy's done a lot of different things. He's kind of an interesting past as well. He's dove into a lot of different investments and things of that nature.
All right, buddy. Elizabeth Berkley, Saved by the Bell, but that's not how I remember her.
Hey, now, how do you remember her?
Showgirl. She's 49. One of the worst movies of all time. So bad. It's awesome. Her and Gina Gershaw, she plays a stripper in Showgirls in Las Vegas. I mean, the lines in that, and the way she dances too, man. It's like very violent stripper. It's very strange.
What were they saying about that movie when it came out? Wasn't that very controversial?
It was Joe Esterhaus, the guy who wrote Basic Instinct, and they thought it had high hopes. It was a disaster. Yeah, baby. Jackie O, also born today. You hear ZZ Top in the background. If you're not a rock fan, you'd recognize this song from any movie that's come out. Anytime there's an action sequence or a montage, Carl, cue ZZ Top. Dusty Hill, man, he with a long beard, the bassist for ZZ Top. He was 72, a Texas legend, as Carl knows. And I got to see them a few times, saw the Crows open up for them years ago. He's been the band for The Jump, and he was in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame as they were inducted back in 04. But Dusty Hill, you think these guys are going to play forever, right?
You do, man. That's why the Rolling Stones coming back. Mike said earlier in the week, this is your last chance.
Right. Yes. Anyway, there's your guy talk, man, on a hump day.
Good stuff. Coming up, we will hear from A.A. Ron. He spoke to the media today and laid out a lot about why he did what he did. Falcons hit the field tomorrow, and their players speaking as well. We'll play it for you coming up.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.